Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days He would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land He gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and shalom. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim live blog on Tuesday, November the 19th, 2024, and it is Teachers Tuesday. But first, a word from our announcer.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Welcome back. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard. I have a few announcements to make. First of all, I want to remind each of you that we have a quarterly coming up. That's January 17th, 18th, and 19th, 2025. So begin stashing away what you need to, get your hotels, reservations in, whatever it needs you need to do to prepare. Begin to get that done. And I have something else that I really want you to do. I want you to begin to pray and ask God, what is it that you need to receive at quarterly? But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something very important. You know, Prophet Deckard, when he went over to the third world, there were so many miracles that happened. And yet he'd come back here to the States, same anointing, same God, same preacher, but yet we didn't see the spectacular healings and miracles that he saw in the third world. I mean, he saw AIDS victims healed. He saw limbs grow. He saw tumors shrink. He saw so many miracles happen over in the third world, just multitudes of them. And not just saying that, he had them documented. They had them to the AIDS victims. He didn't receive that they were healed unless they went to the doctor and came back to with a test showing that they were that it was gone to their local assembly. But I remember he would come back and he'd say, you know what? He said, America has been so steeped in religion. So steeped in religion is just, oh, it's another service. Oh, I hope the preacher has something good to say this time. Oh, But he said, in the third world, they came hungry. Some of them quit their jobs. Now listen to me. Some of them quit their jobs to walk for a week because the white man, the prophet, coming to the village and somebody could get healed. And they would do that. They came hungry. He'd have so many saved that it would take a whole day to baptize them all. Why? Because they were hungry for God. They knew that their Muslim God wasn't doing it. They knew that the world wasn't going to fix it. But we here in America, do we know that and do we even care? I want you to come to quarterly expecting God to meet your needs. I want you to come to quarterly and pull on the anointing. The anointing is there. When Prophet Deckard was in the third world and when he was here in the States, same anointing. But the difference was the people didn't pull the anointing from him. That was the difference. They weren't hungry. They came up hoping God would do it. But in the third world, they came up knowing. They had been told and they believed that God was going to meet their needs. I want you to come. I want you to plan on coming to quarterly, believing that God will meet your need. In July, we had a young man who had broken his hand. He came to quarterly believing that God would meet his need. He pulled on that anointing, and it came, and his hand was healed immediately. But you see, he decided to believe God, and he pulled on that anointing. Come, believing God, pulling on that anointing for what it is you need. Come with questions in your mind. God will answer them. God will answer them. It doesn't matter what the title of the sermon is. God will answer them. Come to quarterly believing. Come to quarterly expecting. Come to quarterly and pull on the anointing. What are those dates again? January 17, 18, and 19. January 17, 18, and 19. Now, we have a YouTube channel, Jewish Prophet. Prophet Mark is on there on Friday evenings. I'm on there on Wednesdays. Tune in. Well, today is Teachers Tuesday, and we're gonna continue on with spiritual fruit producers. Today we're gonna look at the fruit of love. The fruit of love. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Love is one of the fruits. Romans, well, actually, go down and go back up into verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. So love, producing the fruit of love, is going to produce what? Servanthood. Where you serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one law, one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's what Romans 13:10 tells us. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Look in Luke 2:27. They asked Yeshua about which of the commandments were the greatest. I don't know why we get into that, you know. We get into, oh, that sin's worse than another. No, they're not. They're all sin. They're all black. Black and white with God. But they asked Yeshua, what's the greatest commandment? And he answered in verse 27, Luke 10. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. So we are to love God with everything inside of you. We are to love God with all of us, every part of us. Some of you don't do that. Some of you do not love the Lord that much. And that is the greatest commandment. But then he goes on, he says, and love thy neighbor as thyself. In another rendition, he said, love thy neighbor was likened unto the first one. And he said all the other laws revolved around those two. You see, if you are loving God, you're going to produce the fruit. If you are loving God, you're not going to sin. You're not going to be selfish. If you're loving your neighbor, you're not going to be fighting. You see how, I'm telling you, God has wisdom. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. You might as well put a marker because we're going to be in 1 John back and forth throughout this today. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Have you ever been around somebody who was just hateful, was not loving at all? They don't know God. Oh, they may go to church. They may attend every service. I remember this one time this gal was in one of my churches. I'm telling you, she had a spirit of Jezebel. And she ran that church. She was in charge. Oh, not by position. No, she Jezebeled the church. She Jezebeled the people. They were afraid of this woman. She came to every service. I remember my husband grew a beard one winter. And all winter long, she would refuse to look at him throughout the service. And he always stood at the back door and shook hands. And it wasn't Prophet Decker. This was my first husband. He'd stand at the back door and greet everybody as they'd leave, and she wouldn't look at him in the face, and she'd just shake his hand and she'd say, "Well, preacher, that was a fine sermon," and she'd say, "It'd be better if you had your clean shaven face," and he came home, and now he was a pastor. He came home one Sunday. He said, "Well, I'm going to shave." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well," he goes, She it upsets her. I said, "So?" I said, Do you want the beard?" He's like, "Well, yeah." I said, and I said, "I like the beard. So why should you let her? Why should you?" Now, I didn't know about Jezebel's spirit back then. I said, "Why should you let her control what's on your face?" And he said, "Well," he goes, I just don't want to upset her." And I'm like, "It's your face." So he didn't shave his beard. I was glad he didn't. But that woman ran the church. And that woman was hateful. The people, I mean, hey, whatever she said, they said how high. You know what I mean? She didn't have the love of God. She didn't know God. She had religion. She had religion. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Ishikara bahayo kishe. Love. Love. Though I speak with trumpets of men, or tongues of men and angels, but I have not charity, which means love, I've become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but I have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. It profiteth me nothing. You can give away everything, but if you don't have love, it's useless. Profits you nothing. Charity, love, suffers long. It's kind. Envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Wow. Charity never fails. Love will never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it will vanish away. It will vanish away. Love. Love. You see, without producing the fruit of love, you're in a heap of trouble. You and I are in a heap of trouble if we don't produce love. We're nothing. All that we do is not profiting us anything. If we're not producing love, if we're not producing love, do you see the importance of love? Gotta love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Gotta love your neighbor as yourself. You've got to produce love. You have got to produce love. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Yeshua said, this is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So love is important. Love is important. There in 1 John it said, if you don't know love, you don't know God. If you don't love, you don't know God. telling you, love is important. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You got to love each other like God loved you. How does God love you? He sent his son to die for you. That's one way. He forgave you of your sin. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life, that he lay down his life for his friends. In John 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I chose you and ordained you. You should go forth and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. You see, some of us, we listen to these sermons on fruit of the Spirit, and we start studying it, and we're like, okay, I'm going to produce this. I'm going to produce love. It's important. But then life happens, and we forget. And our fruit, he says, I've ordained you that you produce fruit and that your fruit remain. That your fruit remain. The problem we have is rotten fruit. That's the problem most of us have. If you've been a Christian any time at all, oh, you've tried to bear fruit. You've tried to bear the love and produce the love. But then, well, Sister Donna, you just got to understand. You just got to understand, Sister Donna. My boss, my coworker, my family, my husband, my neighbor. You got to understand what they did to me, Sister Donna. I don't have to understand. I don't have to understand at all. God demands that we love. He demands that we love as he loved. Now, let me tell you something. If he took that attitude, you don't know what they did to me. Do you realize that when Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit, he could have just said, that's it. Done. Destroy it. But he chose to love. Why? Because God is love. And he came down and he sacrificed an animal. The blood of that animal was shed for their forgiveness of their sin. And he set the ball in motion. And we've studied, when we study about Passover, we've studied how God set the ball in motion for his son to come, die on the cross, and shed his blood for our sins. Yeshua said, Love each other as I have loved you. See, it doesn't matter what they did to you. You're to love them. Now, it doesn't mean you have to allow them to abuse you. I'm not saying that at all. I am not saying that at all. Prophet Deckard used to say, you know what? He said, if a snake bites me, he goes, still love that snake, but I don't have to let it bite me again. And he was talking about people. People can be cruel. And people can bite you. People can hurt you. People can be mean to you and cruel to you. But you can still love them. How do you do that? You pray for them. You're kind to them. But you hold them at arm's length. Because you know that you can't trust them because they'll do it again. You see, you've got to learn to do that. Yeshua said, I have ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and it should remain. And then I like the rest of this verse. And most of us want to live here. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Oh, we like to stand on that. Father, I ask in faith, I believe you, and I have it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But you see, how's your fruit production? You see, how's your fruit production? No fruit, no answer to your prayer. Some of you, your prayer is not being answered because of the lack of fruit production. You need to ask the Father, what is it? What fruit am I not producing, Father? What fruit have I tried to produce, but it's rotted on the vine? It did not remain. I remember when I first started attending prophet services. He said, some of you have been believing God and believing God and believing God. And he said, and you're like, hey, you know, any day now my boat, my ship's going to come in. Any day now. Any day now it's going to come in. Any day now it's going to happen. I've been believing God. Hallelujah. And he said, most of you, your ship sunk in the harbor. It sunk in the harbor. It ain't coming in because you're not producing the fruit because your fruit stinks. It's rotten. It didn't remain. It didn't remain. Yeshua said, I chose you and I ordained you that you should produce fruit. That's our job. Say, my job is to produce fruit. Oh, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Do you really believe it? Your job is to produce fruit and it remain. And it remain. And it remain. Look in John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There again, he said it again, didn't he? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. How are your disciples gonna, or your neighbors gonna know that you serve the Lord? How's he gonna know? Because you tell them? Because you wear that t-shirt that says Jesus loves me? How is your neighbor? How is the person that you work with, your coworker? How do they know that you serve the Lord? That you're a disciple. How do they know? John said, they're going to know because you love each other. By the fruit of love. That's how. Now, I told you keep your finger in 1 John. We're going to 1 John chapter 2. And I start in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, the righteous. So you see, we sin. We sin. That's what we teach you every day, every day, every day, every day. Ask God to forgive you. for your sins. If you know what they are, you just say, hey, Father, forgive me for not showing love in that situation, Father. Forgive me, Father, for having a bad attitude. Forgive me, Father, for my known sins and my own unknown sins, Father. And Father, show me my unknown sin. Show me, Father, what it is. My unknown sin. What is your unknown sin? The sins that you don't know that you're committing. You see, I got saved when I was 11. I grew up going to church. Got saved when I was 11 at the state fair. That's an unlikely place to get saved, isn't it? But that's where I got saved. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I began to keep Sabbath. And I'll never forget after Prophet brought that revelation to the congregation, he said, we're all going to pray. We're all going to pray for all those years that we didn't keep Shabbat. We're going to ask God for forgiveness. Because you see, it says if you don't keep Shabbat, you're cut off. And I remember that service praying and thanking Father. All my life, all the time I was a Methodist pastor's wife. At that point in my life, I was the pastor's wife of one within Prophet's organization. And I had sinned by not keeping Shabbat. Excuse me. I had sinned by not keeping Passover. I had sinned by not keeping Sukkot because of wrong teaching and wrong believing. Wrong teaching and wrong believing. You see, I didn't know. But I was guilty. Guilty! And when I would have stood before the Father, he would have said, it was in my word. Keep my Sabbath. It's one of the Ten Commandments that even the Protestant church, we learn to memorize. Sister Donna, we keep Sunday Sabbath. That's not what it says. Keep Shabbat. You got to learn. Ask God to forgive you for your unknown sins. And then to show you your unknown sins. Why? So you quit doing them. Verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. See, he didn't die just for us. He died for the whole world. Whereby do we know that we know him? Listen up! How do you know that you know him? If we keep his commandments. All those years I didn't know him because I didn't keep all the commandments. I didn't know him. He that says I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. Ouch. And the truth is not in him. See, I didn't have the truth about Sabbath, about Passover, about Sukkot, Shavuot. I didn't have the truth about that. And I didn't know him. I didn't know him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God. Verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. See, when God shows you something in his word, do you dig your heels in, lock your knees? I can't do that. I can't love my neighbor. I can't forgive. God's not in you. And you're not in him. Do you see why the Bible says there's going to be gnashing of teeth? Because there's going to be so many people. And I died before I got that revelation about keeping Sabbath. I would have stood before the Father in shock. Not understanding that I had been disobedient. He that saith he abides in me ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. How did he walk? He walked in the word. He walked producing the fruit. He walked in fellowship with the Father. Walked in love. Brethren, I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So God's word is the commandment. Do you see the importance of studying his word and meditating his word? You know, you read the word of God. You need to meditate and think, how does that apply to me today? How does that apply to me today? Father, show me. Ishekaba. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and truth, light now shineth. He that sinneth, he that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loves his brother abides in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh not and walketh in darkness, and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. He that hates his brother. God demands that we love one another. He demands that we love one another. Can you love as he demands? You're in darkness if you don't. You're in darkness if you don't. You don't know where you're going if you can't love. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked men. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. You see, we came from him. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the world. It's of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. Chapter 3, verse 14. We're still in 1 John. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. How do you know you're saved? Because you love the brother. He that loveth not his brother and abide in death. If you can't love him, you're not saved. You're not saved. You haven't received eternal salvation. You hate somebody. If you hate somebody, I think I've shared with you how one of the Rosh Hashanah might have been the very first one. Prophet Deckard had said that we could get on our knees or sit in the pew. He didn't care. But he said, I want you to get in the presence of the Father, and I want you to ask him. Ask him if there's any relationship that you need to mend. And I remember beginning to pray. I remember beginning to pray and saying, God, what relationship do I need to mend? I thought I had good relationships with everybody that I knew. I couldn't think of anybody that I needed to mend a relationship with. But as Prophet had directed, I was like, Father, show me. Is there any relationship I need to mend? It was Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you mend your relationship between you and God and you and others. And I'll never forget. God brought up into my memory this little girl when I was in fourth grade. Her name was Tammy. And he said, you hate her. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't hate anybody. He said, you hate her. And you need to forgive her in your heart for what she did to you when you were in fourth grade. God, I don't hate her. You see, if you don't love them, you hate them. If you don't love them, you hate them. You don't love them. You hate them. I remember praying, saying, well, Lord, I have no idea. I mean, like I said, I was probably in my 30s at this time. No idea where this girl is, how to get a hold of her. But I forgive her, Father. I forgive her for what she did to me. Father, forgive me for hating her. You see? We have to learn to love. And if we don't, we are abiding in death. Verse 15, we're in 1 John 3. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. I was a murderer. Thou shalt not murder. You hate somebody, you are breaking the commandment. You're murdering. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You hate somebody. Well, Sister Donna, I just don't like them. No. No. You either love them or you hate them. You either love them or you hate them. You either love them or you hate them. Dear God in heaven, there are so many people going to church, speaking in other tongues, giving words of knowledge, and they have hatred and murder in their heart, and they don't have eternal life. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, oh, I love you, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. If you can't love, you don't know God. Do you know God? Then you can love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us. Herein is your neighbor's love. Not that he loves you, but you love him. Herein is your relative's love. Not that he loves you, but you love him or her. Because you love them, we know you're a disciple. Because you love them even when they act ugly, you have eternal life. And God is in you because God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. See, this is how you're going to know oh, Sister Donna, I went to the altar and I prayed. But do you love? We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Yeshua is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he's in God. And you have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Wherein is our love made perfect, that's mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. He was willing to lay down his life. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see, your ugly co-worker, your ugly relative, your ugly neighbor, you start loving them. They quit being ugly. Excuse me. You see, we love God because he loved us first. If any man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. There it is again. And he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now there is a question. If I can't love my neighbor who I can see, if I can't love my relative who I can see, how can I love God who I've never seen? Meditate that. And this commandment have we found, have we from him, that he loveth God, love his brother also. Love his brother also. It's a command. It's a command. Say ouch. Say oh me. Verse 18 said, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. What do you fear? Remember War for Your Mind? I said you needed to list your fears. What do you fear? Perfect love will cast out fear. Fear has torment. Fear has torment. Think about it. Think about it. I got a call last night from a relative. She couldn't get a hold of her husband. And so she called me thinking that he might be at my house. Well, he was, but I wasn't home. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not home. And she said, well, I've been trying to call him. He doesn't answer his phone. I'm just worried. Well, to make a long story short, she called me back again, and I realized the depth of her fear. She was afraid that he was hurt. And she goes, is anybody with him? Is anybody there? I said, I don't know. I'm not there. So I managed to call and get Jeremiah to go check and see. Sure enough, he was there. He was outside working with a piece of equipment. So I called her back. I said, yeah, he's here. He's there. He's fine. He's working. She's like, thank you. Fear has torment. Fear has torment. We have to learn to put down fear. Fear is not of God. Fear is not a God. You see, I remember when I was a young girl, and I'm telling you, my husband was 10 minutes late. In my mind, I'd be afraid he'd had an accident, he's dead. The fear tormented me until I began to learn to just put him in God's hands. I couldn't do anything anyway but worry. Love, divine love is the juice that flows through all the other spirits, or fruits, excuse me. Joy is the love, is love with happiness. Peace is love with total relaxation. Long-suffering is love under fiery trial. Gentleness is love refined when all the coarseness of self is purged out. Goodness is love shown towards others by righteous conduct. Faith is love trusting. Meekness is love with humility. Temperance is love with self-control. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Love. Let's pray. Father, I pray today for those who are listening. I pray that they will begin, Father, to search their hearts, to ask you to show them where they fall short in love. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Well, I want to thank each of you for listening. And I want to remind you that with God, all things are possible.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes.